You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday, back doing it. Third day in a row, who would have thought? Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day, at least it is again, here on Locked On Wolverines. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group, and as promised, today we are going to continue our series, our summer series, on different position groups. I say summer, it's still not summer, but, you know, we got to do something. So, certainly doesn't feel like summer, hence I'm wearing a hoodie. If you're watching on YouTube, which is your prerogative, because you can find this podcast wherever you want, whether it's anywhere you listen to or on YouTube. So I guess not wherever you want. You can't just turn on channel 4 and watch it. Anyway, it's not on MTV. So we're going to talk about the running backs. So this one is an obvious split, kind of like the quarterbacks. It'll get a little bit more convoluted, I think, once we start dealing with different position groups like the wide receivers, which we'll get to on Friday, and where you start getting multiple guys all in one place. So we're going to do it kind of a similar split as what we did with the quarterbacks on Monday. And we'll spend the first part talking about the starter, and then we'll talk about the next guy, and then we'll talk about the rest in segment 3. And that's not necessarily going to take that long, because who knows. But so let's talk about the starter, the presumed starter, and the likely starter, and that's Blake Corum, obviously. And I think it's interesting when you have a lot of talk, as there's been this offseason, about the idea that Michigan is going to have a giant drop-off because Hassan Haskins is no longer there. And I think what's interesting about it is Blake Corum was the guy, right? Like, we went into 2021 thinking it was going to be Hassan Haskins, but Blake Corum was the one who really had that starring role. Now, he started, and Hassan finished. That part is true, because obviously Blake got injured in the Michigan State game, didn't play again until the Ohio State game. I think he played, what, one series in the Indiana game. Maybe that's when he got injured. No, he got injured in Michigan State. But nonetheless, the fact of the matter is Blake was the one that was considered to be the dynamic one. He was the one that people were starting to talk about as being a Heisman-type guy before his injury. And then Hassan had take on essentially dual role and be kind of that every down back, except for just every now and again when they would insert Donovan Edwards. But I remember going into that Penn State game, for instance, and the thought was, yeah, Donovan's going to get pretty heavily utilized. He was healthy finally after he was banged up himself, and only for him to just kind of get barely utilized until obviously the Maryland game, and then he was heavily utilized, and he wasn't really utilized that much in the Ohio State game because it was Hassan and Blake, really. Blake Corum, I think, is ready for that next step. And I think part of the reason why I think that is twofold. Number one, going from 2020 to 2021, personally, he was the one that we were talking about the least on this show, at least. And I remember just constantly saying, I'm like, I know that this is probably wrong. He's going to end up being that guy. But they were talking about Hassan and everything he brought to the table, and Donovan Edwards and everything he brought to the table. And I was like, know that Blake Corum is going to be a lot better than what I'm kind of giving him credit for right now. And he certainly proved that, right? He came out of the gates like a banshee. He was, and I sound a lot like, he's a TikTok guy, I can't remember, Andrewski there. He came out of the gates like a banshee. He was just absolutely insane to start the season. And that pretty much continued for the bulk of the year. And I believe Pro Football Focus has him as their top Big Ten running back or somewhere up there. I'd have to look. I just know they put out a graphic. They had him at like a 91.9 grade. And certainly, and I know that there's a lot of people that will say, no, no, no. You know, and they're probably not Michigan fans, of course, but they'll be like, no, no, no. It's Travion Henderson. It's Mo Ibrahim. It's, what's his name? It's escaping me. Braylon Allen. Listen, fine. Okay, sure. Why not? You know, but it could be any of the above. But to act like Blake Corum isn't in that conversation is ridiculous. He is absolutely in that conversation. He absolutely has shown, and he would have been a 1,000-yard rusher had he not gotten hurt. Where did he finish? Because he definitely was right there. And I have to know right now where he ended up finishing. He was awfully close. So he finished, he played 12 games, and he had 952. So if he stayed healthy, if he was able to have stayed healthy, he certainly would have gotten to that 1,000-yard mark. But he averaged 6.61 yards per carry last year. That's pretty impressive. If we want to look at those with the highest averages of those considered to be primary rushers, I mean, he's 23rd in the country with that 6.61. So I think you had to see if it says to qualify, you had to play 75% of the team's games, have a minimum of 4 rushing attempts per game played. So he was 23rd in the country. Ahead of him in the Big Ten last year, you had Mayan Williams at 7.14. You had Braylon Allen and Travion Henderson tied for 6.82. So he's right there in that conversation. Seeing a name that I haven't seen in forever. I didn't know he's at Georgia State. Jameis Williams. I remember Michigan recruiting him back in like 2015, no less. That's crazy. So he's right there. That's the list in the top 25 of Big Ten rushers from last year. In terms of average yards per carry. Now, Mayan Williams moved on, so he's a top three guy. Certainly, there will be some others that can and will be very good. But, I mean, I think that's really impressive what he was able to do in his second year. And you have to figure, now that he is going to be the guy, and here's the second part of the equation, seeing him, knowing that he's going to be the guy in the spring game and the few carries he got, it wasn't like, you know, oh, there, you know, Blake's in, he's going to get the ball, so let's just bottle him up. Like they did a good job of bottling up the run game when it wasn't Blake for the most part, the defense, whoever was out there. And yet Blake found a hole, made a cut and got, you know, went. And I think that's a really good indication for what, Lightning is going to be able to do in 2022. So let's move on and let's talk about the second guy, who's obviously Donovan Edwards. And we'll bring up some stuff from let's go back to the recruiting a little bit, because we've talked about it, but it's been a while. You might be newer to this podcast. You might not have been, you know, listening. And obviously you weren't watching, otherwise I'd been creepy because they didn't record it on camera. But back in 2020, when I was regularly visiting West Bloomfield and, you know, watching him play in games and watching him in practice and talking to him and all of that stuff, the recruitment is interesting. And obviously we got a little bit of a taste of what he could bring to the table. So let's get to that momentarily. But before we do, listen, I love brownies, but you know what I love more? Brownie batter. Sometimes I eat half the batter just while I'm making the brownies. Imagine if you could lick that brownie spatula clean and get some protein in. Well, you're in luck because Built has a new creation, and this one's better than ever, the Brownie Batter Puff. You heard me right. This puff takes protein bars to a whole new level, and they're available right now on Built.com. Have you tried the Built Puffs yet? I'm not sure what you're waiting for, because puffs are a chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bar. That's right. Delicious flavored marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 7 grams sugar. Brownie batter puffs are the perfect pick-me-up for any day. So all Built Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means that with Built, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. And you know what? They're also made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. The Brownie Batter Puffs will have you completely forgetting they're eating a protein bar. No need to pinch yourself. This is real life. So go to Built.com to get the Brownie Batter Puffs now. You've used the promo code LOCKED15 at Built.com. You get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off of your next order at Built.com. All right, so let's continue on. We've got another really important guy to talk about. And you know what? Going back to the axioms of what Jim Harbaugh always talks about, and I find this to be relatively accurate, players tend to get better going from game one to game two. They also get better, make that biggest jump from year one to year two. I also feel like, it continues. You know, it seems like whenever you see a guy as a sophomore and you're like, he's okay. You know, by the time his senior year comes around, you're usually like, oh, what would we do without that guy? It kind of almost never fails. Or usually from sophomore to junior year, I feel like is when that ascent happens. But we're talking about a freshman to sophomore here. And that's Donovan Edwards, the West Bloomfield product. 5-star according to the 24/7 Sports proprietary rankings. Yes, I am noting that is the proprietary rankings. For you rival fans out there, for whatever reason, like to watch this on YouTube. I don't get it. I don't know why. There's always like a bunch of idiotic rival fan comments. I don't care. Like, you act like I care that much. I don't. When you comment. But nonetheless, it's... Yes, he was a 4-star in the composite, and he was a 5-star according to... the people inside 24/7 Sports. So Steve Wiltfong and all of those guys, my ex-colleagues over there. But he obviously didn't get quite as much play as you would have thought. Still played a lot. Got his first touchdowns pretty quickly. Week three. Week three is when he got it against NIU. He got 2 of them in that game. Let's take a quick look at what he was able to accomplish in year one. So 35 attempts, in 12 games, a little more than one. You know, when you think about the old school running backs that would get 30 carries in a game, a little more than one game. I mean, you look at 35, that could be one game. 174 yards, so pretty good if you're looking at that being one game. Average of 4.97 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns. But he only averaged about 3 carries a game. So, but then on top of that, he had 20 receptions, keeping in mind that 10 of those came in the Maryland game, for 265 yards, 13.25 yard average, 1 touchdown came in the Maryland game, averaging 1.7 receptions per game and 22.1 yards per game. And then he obviously had a pass, which we saw in the Big Ten championship game. 100% passing with a rating of 1060. 75-yard touchdown. That one was to Roman Wilson, if I'm not mistaken. And I might be. My memory's not good anymore. But nonetheless, really solid start for Donovan Edwards. Didn't get nearly as much run as I expected him to get. Played in 12 games out of the 14, but he is, we obviously saw that he can play a big role catching the ball in the backfield. I think the fact that he was able to have that game against Maryland that he did is what set up, not think, actually, I know, that's what set up that first touchdown against Ohio State, because they had to respect him suddenly, and A.J. Henning was able to have that misdirect. So he's going to play a pivotal role. I would imagine we're going to see both him and Blake Corum out on the field at the same time often, because it creates problems. If Blake could get better at catching the ball, because, right, like, because he came in against Michigan State And he had that, actually, I think he, didn't he play Michigan? He played against Michigan State the whole game and got injured against Indiana the next week, if I'm not mistaken now. But, you know, he has those, he had those moments where he would drop the ball. You know, he dropped the ball against Michigan State. It could have been a touchdown. Game would have been completely pretty much, not put away because that was like first quarter, but it would have felt like that. So Donovan provides kind of more of sure hands. We saw that. And we're going to have to see a little bit more from the running style. Now, having seen him in person in the high school era when he was the guy, you know, we got to see him in person last year, but he wasn't the guy. Let me tell you, he's the real deal. And going back to his recruitment, and this was the thing that I was kind of alluding to here. What a lot of people don't know is that he was from, and this was told by a really good source. It's funny. He was the number one guy overall on Ohio State's board in 2021, right? Travion Henderson was number one on Michigan's board. And somehow they ended up at the opposite teams. So it was, and Michigan certainly did not do a very good job for a very long time recruiting him. I know I created a lot of panic on some message boards because there was certainly a long period in which Donovan in Michigan, that was not going to happen. But as other teams fill out their boards, as you know, as Donovan Edwards would have ended up at Ohio State if a couple things had happened differently. And if Ohio State hadn't overplayed its hand. Ohio State very well could have ended up with Travion and Donovan Edwards. But it just didn't work out that way. Ohio State overplayed its hand. They tried to get too cute, too smart. Didn't work out. But there was a period in which Michigan was as close to persona non grata as it could be. Maybe that's what's happening with Dante Moore. I don't know because I haven't talked to Dante in 7-8 months. Maybe a little bit longer, but I was pretty tied into Donovan's deal, and Michigan was not doing a good job at all. And it took Michigan kind of a kick in the you know what before they really started picking up on his recruitment. And then finally they did, and then they did a really good job, and he ended up playing for the home school. But Michigan was being severely out recruited by Donovan Edwards. Or not by Donovan Edwards, but they were by other schools in pursuit of Donovan Edwards. And good thing for the Wolverines that they won that one because they are absolutely going to need him this year. And he's a very dynamic runner as well as just, you know, he could be a wide receiver that we've seen that he has that capability. And but he's a running back for a reason. And will he have that Hassan Haskins type role where of being put inside and getting 5 yards when they need one? Probably not necessarily. He's not necessarily your third down back type. I mean, that maybe that will end up being his role. We'll have to see how it goes for him because that's the whole point with going from year one to year two and how much better a guy gets. I mean, think about Blake Corum. Blake Corum did not look like the Blake Corum we came to know last year in his first year. Certainly Michigan trotted him out right. He started right out of the gates. You know, he got the start over Haskins and Charbonnet against Minnesota. So it'll be interesting to see what that kind of jump that Donovan Edwards makes. You can expect that he will get utilized heavily. And the fact that he can be on the field at the same time as Blake Corum also plays a pretty big role in the way that this offense can work. And that gives you another option, having that outlet. When you know, you have all these other receivers. I mean, Michigan is building kind of a monster on offense, and it's pretty great to see. All right, let's talk about the rest of the field here momentarily. Really, it's just 2 to 3 guys, depending on how you want to look at it. This episode is being brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts in their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, so we obviously still have some other guys to talk about, and I think the big question is who's going to be that bruising back? Because Donovan Edwards at 6 foot, 200 something. I don't know what he's listed at now. He was listed at 202, I believe, last year. Let's take a quick look just before we move on. See if I can find it quickly. Probably not. Football roster. See what he's listed at coming into the offseason. If it wants to work. So, he's still listed at 202. 6-0, 202. So, he's not necessarily going to be, because I believe Hassan Haskins was, what, 220, 6-0, 225, or 6-1, 225, I think. We're going to find that out, too, because 6-1, 220, so pretty close. So, Michigan's going to have to find another guy that can do that. Now, they have a couple options, and one of them is one that we didn't really see much of except for, again, in that NIU game last year, and that's Tavier Dunlap. He's going into his second year. He's 6'0", 222, so he's right there around that same size, and he looked pretty good in the spring game. He got the most run of anyone as far as running backs were concerned, which is good, obviously. Comes from DeVal, Texas. Which is, granted, he didn't have any overlap there, but that's where Bobby Acosta is the head coach now. That name sounds familiar. He was the head coach at IMG Academy, I believe, for two seasons, including the national championship season with J.J. McCarthy at the helm. But so that should tell you it's a pretty good high school, right? That's the point of me saying that there. But other than Tavier Dunlap, you also have that opportunity to utilize Kalel Mullings, the linebacker, who surprisingly came out and started playing some running back and is expected to be a two-way guy. And he clearly had some issues holding onto the football. Don't want that. We saw that with some other converted type guys, Ben Van Sumeren against Army. You know, everyone was excited about him. It's like, oh, having this big linebacker type, and then has a very costly turnover against Army in week two and 2019. So you can't have that. But 6'1, 236 pounds is what he's listed as. So that's he's another guy that certainly could be that third down back type guy. I mean, he showed decent vision when out there, but I mean, he fumbled the football. Granted, they called him down, but he fumbled the football basically at the goal line. And that's got to scare the living daylights out of the coaching staff. So you have those two guys as being your options. I don't really have a ton to say about them, to be honest. But then you don't want to forego talking about Leon Franklin, because he's the walk-on out of Southfield, who he's a senior this year, 5'8", 206. He was your garbage time guy a year ago. So he's someone that can certainly come in and do the job as well. I mean, he was ninth last year, with 8 carries, 33 yards, no touchdowns, but he appeared in 9 games. Tavier Dunlap, however, had more rushing yards in the 2 games, and he had 2 games, 7 carries, 51 yards. So he's averaging a pretty high clip there. So, and then, like, you know, we say this, but we totally aren't talking about A.J. Henning, who is going to have that Deebo Samuel type role. We'll obviously talk a little bit more about AJ Henning when we get to the wide receivers, but I mean, he had 9 carries for 162 yards. That's 18 yard per carry average. So, and then, you know, Roman Wilson got 3 carries for 59 yards. They're going to get guys running out of the backfield doing different things, right? Cornelius Johnson had 3 carries for 30 yards last year. So, and then we're not even talking about, you know, J.J. McCarthy in the positive for a running, or not a running back, but for a quarterback, because Cade McNamara was underwater, 37 carries for 26 yards, but JJ McCarthy, 27 carries, 124 yards. So if he's in a lot more, then, I mean, all things are possible. Andrell Anthony had a carry for 6 yards. You still have Isaiah Gash, who was a walk-on out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, for 6 yards and 17 carries last year. There's lots of options out there for you. So it'll be interesting to see how that third position shapes up, or those corollary, because we're going to see A.J. Henning get carries. We're going to see some of those other guys. We're going to see Roman Wilson. Anyone, if you're a wide receiver and you've got speed, chances are you're going to get the football in your hands one way or the other. And then it's just a matter of finding that third back, and you've got a couple options. If I was to put money on it, I would say it's going to be Tavier Dunlap. I know he wasn't going up against the greatest competition when he amassed his the bulk of his what he was able to get, but I think that he's a bigger guy, he's big enough. I think that it's one of those things that it seems like it's kind of his turn now. And will he turn into that Hassan Haskins type? I mean, that's hard to predict. But I still think that it's a really good situation for them to be in. And listen, they still have Mike Hart as the coach. We saw this unit take a big step forward this last year. Only imagine, with the offensive line being what it is, that there's a really good opportunity for that to continue. And it's one of those things I just don't think that people are talking about enough. And we'll obviously spend a whole episode on the offensive line, but really, this run game should not be taking a step back. I don't know why anyone is kind of under the impression that it might, just because Haskins is gone. Yes, you lose 1,327 yards from last year, but you're going to get a lot of yards from Donovan Edwards. I would bet that A.J. Henning is going to have more than 162 yards. I would bet that even J.J. McCarthy will have more than 124 yards, and Tavier Dunlap certainly is going to have more than 51 yards. So there's a lot to like. And those running backs in particular are going to be able to split between getting the handoff, as well as, getting those screens those dump passes, those outlets. There's a lot of options for them, or even just splitting out and running routes. So, all right. So we are going to do the mailbag. It is back. It is going to be on Thursday for the first time in forever. Tomorrow, I've put out the question on Twitter, so get your questions in. And we will actually do a mailbag again, and hopefully start that up for the foreseeable once again. And Friday we will resume with the wide receivers, and we'll just continue doing this. It'll take us a couple weeks, I think, to get through it, because we do have the mailbag. We'll occasionally have these guests and such, like we had this week with Anthony Treach, last week with Jake Butt. So we will continue to trudge through our positional breakdowns. So anyway, that'll do it for us today. Thank you for watching and or listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Peace.